The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want to read from the book of Acts, if you go there, please, with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. One of the things that I've been praying about this week and really pressing in is that the Lord is going to supernaturally touch people with the fire of heaven in a way that you've never been touched before. One of the things that we have to realize, the very subject that I'm talking about is not something that I made up. I have nothing to do with what I just read to you. The subject that I'm speaking about here, which we've entitled this whole week, Firepower, because when he said you shall receive power, that's what he was saying. Yeah. You shall receive fire power. This subject is not something that was initiated with me. This is something that was initiated by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one that is actually speaking. So there's a controversy in the religious world because some people, they say, you know, all of that is fine and dandy, but that was really for the early church, but not for the modern church, and that we have moved on from then. We have the scripture now, and we don't need any of that. And so you look at churches all around the world that are totally devoid of firepower. But I want you to know something here today. Why would God have the early church have power and the latter-day church have nothing? That doesn't even make sense. Because first of all, when you think about it, they walked with Jesus. They were the ones that walked with him. They talked with him. You and I are 2,000 years after the fact. If ever there's a group of people that need the firepower, it's this group of people that live in the 21st century. It's people that live in 2019. God didn't think more of them and less of us, because the scripture even says, the promise is unto you and to your children and all of them that are afar off, which is us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means as long as God is saving people, as long as Jesus is saving people, he is also empowering people with his Holy Spirit. And there are so many people that come around the church, they get saved, but they never receive the firepower so that they can do what God's called them to do. And they wonder why they struggle through their life. They wonder why they have to run here, run there, go to somebody, and we've got to get with somebody that has power, because I'm in a place where I don't have any power. When all this power is available for every single one of you, God did not say that this power was only available for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. God says this power is available to every believer. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you'll cast out devils. In my name you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's those that believe in my name. That's the prerequisite. The church, the power of the church is not resting upon just one or two or three bishops or one or two or three apostles or one or two or three so-called prophets. The power of the church is resting upon the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Because once you get saved, you become his hands and his feet, but he wants to actually empower you. Which is greater than even in the modern Pentecostal charismatic context, because people think the moment they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak with other tongues, therefore I must have the Holy Spirit or I must have power. Yet I know of many tongue talkers that have no power. Because the initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you receive power. Jesus never said you'll receive tongues. He never said you shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. Which I'm not taking away from tongues. But some people don't even have that. Because they're so stuck up in their noggin, in the intellectual realm, that they're so educated that they can't even yield to an unknown language that they have no control over. Other than allowing the Spirit to pray through you the perfect will of God. You have to humble yourself. Somebody said they'll think I'm crazy. They already do. You're sitting in the river on a Sunday morning. They already think you're nuts. He never said you shall receive tongues after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said you shall receive power. The power came on them and they spoke in a heavenly language. Why? Because they couldn't talk in their native tongue. They couldn't talk in English. When the power of God comes on you, you don't even know what to say. There's no words in the English language to even describe what you even saying. Suddenly there's not enough words. Fortunately, he gives you words to say. Fortunately, but that heavenly language, you can speak mysteries unto God. Can you say amen? But you talk to a lot of people in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, the moment you talk about the Holy Spirit, I know about the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. Yeah, look at your face. You shall receive. This is available for every person, for the young and the old. If you here as a senior person here today, don't say, well, this is all for the youth. They really need it. No, you need it. If anybody needs power, it's old people need power. And the older you get, the more power you need. Are you listening to me? Young people need power. Old people need power. Everybody needs power. So somebody said, what if I don't have this power? Then you need to make sure that you get it. That's why we have 8 days of 2 meetings a day, so that you can come and get it. Somebody said, you want me to get power? Yes. Yes. Every single one of you. Somebody said, what will people think? You know, when power comes to you, you don't care what people think. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because when the power comes, it takes over your heart and your head just says, I'll step out of the way at this time. When I was a kid growing up in Pentecost, of course, I was saved at the age of 5, baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years of age. And we had an evangelist come to us all the way from America. Many of you heard the story, but it bears repeating. And so anyway, make a long story short, he came from the state of, I believe it was Montana. And he was a cowboy preacher. I was so excited because it would be the first cowboy that I would ever see. I'd never seen a cowboy. In Africa, we don't have cowboys. I mean, obviously the people look after cows, but they don't have the hats and the big belt buckles and the jeans and the boots. And, you know, they don't wear six guns, you know, like a cowboy, like in the movies. So I was so excited that a cowboy preacher was coming. And I told my dad, I want you to take me to the airport. Of course, things back in the 60s are so different. I mean, even when we first came to America, you could go straight to the gate. You know, remember those days? You go straight to the gate and on standby. You're right at the gate. Today, you have to get groped. You go through 3 proctology exams. You have to give a blood and urine sample before you even fly. You know what I mean? I mean, welcome to America, because everybody's afraid that, you know, well, whatever. So thank you for keeping me safe while you grab all my vitals. But anyway, so you could go straight to the gate. So we went straight to the gate. I watched the plane land. He come off the plane. There he is, wearing cowboy boots, jeans, belt buckle, shirt with a bolo tie, cowboy hat. And I was happy the cowboy was there. But then I looked, and I saw he didn't have a gun. He didn't have a six gun. I said to my dad, quietly, where's his gun? My dad said, well, he couldn't wear it on the plane. He flew all the way from America. Oh, okay. And then I said, where's his horse? Cowboys, you can't be a cowboy if you don't have a horse. I know there's people, they drive a big truck and they wear a hat, but they don't have a horse. Somebody said the horse is in the engine. It's in the under the hood. No. A real cowboy has a horse. Proper horse. My dad said, son, well, he couldn't bring it with him. But I'll tell you what, one thing he had power. He had power. I mean, I would sit in the service. He would point at people and just put his hand like that, and they would go flying through the air. I mean, as a kid, I'm sitting watching this. I go, oh, my God. I'm watching this. I thought, he has a gun. He's shooting people. I don't know what he's shooting them with, but they go fly through the air. He had power. This is back in the 60s. So I didn't want to miss a service. I'm sitting watching everything that he does. I mean, he must have walked out and saw this kid sitting on the front row just staring at him. I'll never forget when he pointed at me and I went and stood and he waved his hand and I went flying through the air. It's like, I was shaking. They picked me up. They put me in the car. I was shaking in the back seat, you know. And I said to my dad, I said, that man had power. And my dad said, yes, son, he did. So the guy actually only had one lung. Something had happened to one of his lungs. But boy, did he use that one lung that he did have. I'm telling you, he preached like a man with 3 lungs, you know. It was phenomenal. And he would tell the story. He said, you know, during the 40s and the 50s, he said, he learned preaching, and he would preach amongst the Indian tribes across Wyoming and Montana and North and South Dakota and all the different, Indian tribes. And he tells the story, and I love the story, so I'll try to tell it everywhere I go in the world. And he said he went to this one area, and he was preaching, and he said the big chief came every single day and sat there with the full headgear, the full headdress. And he said the big chief was sitting in all the meetings, and he said the big chief had a face that showed no expression, like a couple of people here today. And he said the big chief just sat and just looked. Day after day, he said he was there for 3 weeks, and he said he thought to himself, well, the big chief must be liking what is going on because he keeps coming back. But he said he couldn't read him because he showed no expression on his face to whether he was happy or upset with the meetings, but the big chief was there and just sat and just looked. And so he announced to everybody that he was going to pray for people to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And so the next day, when he gave the call, he said the first person up in the line was the big chief, which shocked him. The big chief suddenly is standing in front of him, and he goes, he hasn't shown any response or interest to anything that's going on, and here he's right in front of me now. What am I going to do? And he said, yes, sir, what do you want? And the big chief looked at him and said, me want Holy Ghost. Me want Holy Ghost. The big chief said, me no want little Holy Ghost. Go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me want big Holy Ghost. Go, hallelujah. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. I thought, me, no one, little Holy Ghost. Listen, it's not about making a noise. Are you with me? Because there's a lot of churches you can go to where they make a lot of noise, but there's no substance. I'm not talking about noise with no substance, and you're always going to get that. You're always going to get that because people feel that if they don't do it, then other people would think they're not anointed. And you can go to churches where they make a lot of noise, but there's nothing there. Listen, when you're in church and you make a lot of noise and there's nothing there, when you go out there, you're just back to normal. But when something is there and there is a noise, are you with me? That noise stays with you. That sound of heaven stays with you because he said, remember, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. In other words, you carry this living water. No matter what you do, no matter what your vocation is, no matter what realm of life that you find yourself, even those in the music ministry, as you play, the anointing will come on the notes, the sounds will go out, people will get healed. Just like when David played and people were healed and the evil spirit that plagued Saul left him so people would be healed. No matter what you do in the different realms of life, a writer, he'll make your tongue as the pen of a ready writer. The words will flow from you. An artist, a sports individual, a person who's a doctor or a professor, a teacher, you'll have access to things that others struggle with in the natural, but will come. There'll be a flow to it because it's by the Holy Ghost. People that are anointed in this realm. The power is not there just for a service. The power is there for service. The power is not just there for Sunday morning. The power is there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday morning should not be a raise me from the dead service. Sunday morning should not be somebody please bring the jumper cables because my battery is dead and I had to be pushed in here. In actual fact, a breakdown truck towed me into the river. If you put the key in my ignition, it won't even make a clicking sound. God wanted to make every believer self-sustaining by the power of the Holy Ghost, the greater one, to come and live on the inside of you. The fact of the matter is, I can't get hungry for you. I can't get thirsty for you. And this is more than just, you know, somebody touched me and I fell under the power and got up. There's many people fall. I prayed for a lot of people over the years, thousands. One year I prayed for 300,000 people, you know, minimum, laid hands on them. And that was a year, there was 1.2 million people in the meeting. So you can lay hands on people till they go bald. It's about receiving power. I have to stress this today. And it's firepower. Now, of course, you've got those out there that are all afraid of anything. The moment anything happens, they think it must be the devil. You know, the moment, well, it's all the devil. God said in the last days, false prophets will come. You know, if that's your only excuse, then all you're going to ever see is false prophet. Because if there's a false prophet, there has to be a real prophet. So shut up your face if all you can do is talk about false prophet. If you can produce the real, then what good is it you say that they're just false prophets? Because there has to be a real. Somebody said, well, it's all counterfeit. No, for every counterfeit, there has to be a genuine. Somebody said, well, it's strange fire. By them even saying that displays their ignorance because they don't even know what the scripture says. Strange fire is not real fire. Strange fire is when you are pretending to have the fire and you don't have the fire and you pass it off as the fire. That's what strange fire is. That's what happened to Nadab and Abihu and Hophni and Phinehas. They died because they played with the things of God. We are not talking about people pretending. Either the Holy Ghost is there or he's not there. But when he is there, he will come and he will touch people and he will transform their life and their life will never be the same again. Period. So all these strange fire people banging their gums, making a lot of noise. Listen, either put up or shut up. If you talk about strange fire, then you need to step up and produce. Say, that's strange fire, but let me show you what real fire is. Because if you can't produce real fire, shut up. Strange fire cannot transform lives. Strange fire cannot save people and deliver people from alcoholism and drug addiction and put marriages back together again and set people free from pornography and lust and perversion and homosexuality. Only the fire of God can deliver people. Only the fire of the Holy Ghost can deliver people and set them free. And I've issued this several times. To those that would watch, that would talk about strange fire, I challenge you to show down in an inner city. I'll give you an hour. Give me 5 minutes after you. But you better bring a body bag, because if you don't produce, they'll do something to you. Either a body bag or a change of underwear, because you're going to need it. Well, no, we're not playing games. We're not playing games. God wouldn't give a pattern for an early church that tells the disciples that walk with him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they traveled with Jesus, they performed miracles, signs, and wonders, and he said, I want you to go tarry at Jerusalem. I want you to go wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, you've heard of me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Even John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but there's coming one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist declared that. John the Baptist, a forerunner to the ministry of Jesus. Who was he talking about? Jesus, the head of the church. Somebody said he came to save us. That was the first step. He came to save you so that he could fill you. He came to save you so that he could baptize you in the Holy Ghost. If you only get one without the other, you've got half of the gospel. And that's what we're sitting with. Dead churches with dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead people because they have no fire. I'm not talking about success motivation. I'm talking about a fire that comes in your bones. And that fire will be with you, not just in the good times, but in the rough times. Even in the bad times, there'll be that fire that will burn on the inside of you. Are you with me? And that fire, I believe, will get stronger and stronger. Why? Because he takes you from glory unto glory, unto glory, unto glory, unto glory. The glory that you're operating under right now is not the fulfillment of that. The day will come when this corruptible will put on incorruptible, when this mortality will put on immortality, and you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You'll have a glorified body, because even as you are right now, you could not stand in the presence of God. If suddenly you went to heaven, you would be incapacitated. The angels would have to carry you around, and you would be overwhelmed because of the power of God. And you'd be, and the angels would say, have a look over there, and you'd, because he is so awesome. That's why when he comes into place, we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We weep, we cry, we dance, we laugh, we sing, because he is God. We're not talking about meeting some superstar, some actor from Hollywood, some music star. We talk about meeting the creator of heaven and earth, Almighty God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When you meet him, when you see him as he really is, your whole life will change. Abram met him, and God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. God met Sariah, and her name became Sarah. God met Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and his name became Paul. When God touches you, everything you knew about yourself will change, will change. Everything everybody knew about you will change. They'll say, there's something different about you. We knew you to be a certain way, but now something has happened. I don't know what's happened, but I know that it's not them. I know that this must be the hand of God. And I tell you, this week shall be a supernatural week. This week shall be a week of impartation of the fire of the Holy Ghost. This week, men and women will receive divine impartation. Men and women will receive direction for their calling and for their ministry. even for the next 5 years, God will lay the blueprint in your spirit, and it shall come by the fire of the Holy Ghost, and it will be burnt on the inside of you, and it will be that which no one can take away from you. No one will be able to take what God puts on the inside of you. No one can take from you. And because you received it not from man, not by the hands of man, but you received it from the Lord, you'll be able to go and tell people, well, I received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. And you can, because you have freely received, you can freely give what he has put on the inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 And you can give it away. You can give it away. The Lord told me years ago, give away your ministry, give it away. Listen, you can't go to a natural amusement. You get on a roller coaster, people make a noise. I mean, there are a couple of people if you look at the pictures afterwards. But you get on one of those things and there's people shouting and screaming. Listen, if you don't shout now, you can imagine what's going to happen at the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church. There's going to be people. There are going to be people that are saved but never believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but their body's going to be transformed to a glorified body. They'll be like this. Suddenly, boom. They'll go, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Poof! They were Baptist on the ground and Pentecostal in the air. I'm telling you, you better get ready for what God is about to do. But we've got Pentecostal churches. We got churches trying to play down what God's doing. We want to become acceptable. We don't want to be called fringe. We don't want to be called extreme. What do you mean? Like a mighty rushing wind? We don't want the mighty rushing wind. We just want a gentle breeze. We don't want cloven tongues of fire. We just want a little spark on the forehead. No! No! If Peter, James, and John needed it, then you and I needed it. We've got to have it. We must have it. You shall receive firepower. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the way to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the fire of God, I wouldn't even be here tonight, today. I wouldn't even come to the service tonight. I wouldn't even be here tomorrow if it wasn't for the fire of God. But the fire of God touched me as a young boy in Africa all those years ago, and it carried us now to 63 countries of the world. What is he going to do with you? What will he do with you? When the fire of God comes on you, the book on boring you will never read. When the fire of God comes on you, it will be a transforming work. The fire will come, burn out all the dross, burn out the fear of man, burn out everything that holds you back, burn out all of the things that make you feel insignificant, all of the phobias, all of the fears, all of the worry, all of the anxiety. When the fire of God comes, it'll burn out the sickness and the disease. When the fire of God comes, he will do a transforming work in your life. Somebody said, well, you just think that the only thing lacking is fire. The only thing lacking is Jesus. And then once you get him, then he's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus is. Jesus, the head of the church. So when people say, I can't stand the fire, I don't want to hear about the fire, you actually are attacking the ministry of Jesus, because I had nothing to do with this, as I said. I just read. As a boy in Africa, reading the scripture. Had nobody there telling me, You can't have this. You had no one telling me this is not for today. Yeah. Read it.
Yeah.
Believed it.
Yeah.
Received it.
Jesus.
No argument. Our greatest desire is to get people saved. And then after that, to get them filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's why the Lord told me, run to 300 cities around the world and light fires. Just one night, upper room meetings. We've already actually been to 45. Listen, if you add the two sets together, already 45. I know there's some people say you're not going to make it. Oh, yeah, we're going to hit another 10 now in February. Across England, four in Ireland, two in Scotland, three in England, one in Wales.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. And then six cities across the Southern Caribbean. And then another run through Europe. Fire. You shall receive firepower. Fuego. Fuego de Dios. Fuego de Dios. You can't buy this fire. You can't earn this fire. You can't go and make yourself better to receive the fire. You just have to humble yourself and say, Lord, come. Touch me. Come here, Pastor Tony. Come here. Pick him up. Five guards coming on him right now. Pick him up. Somebody says, one of your pastors. Yeah, I can't help. I can't help it. Who gets this? Whoever jumps in is going to get it this week. Whoever jumps in is going to get it this week. Fire! From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. From this very moment, you'll step in another dimension. From this very moment, you'll step into a new anointing. Come here, quickly. Fire! Come here. What the enemy thought he was going to do. Broken! The fire of the Holy Ghost. Go through your body. Many people will look at this week and say, was that week in 2019? That the fire of God came upon me, my whole life transformed. My whole life was changed. That's what I've been pressing in for, asking God. This is not about my reputation. I couldn't care less what people think about me. We've been called everything under the sun. People have made up every kind of lie about us. It's ridiculous. But I don't care. It's not my power anyway. It's His power. It's His anointing. You receive from Him. I'm just a vessel. I'm just an instrument. I know for some people it'll get a little noisy, but that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire. for those that have already received the fire of God, that fire will be rekindled here this week. That fire shall be rekindled here this week. No difference to taking a poker and sticking it into the hearth and moving the ashes and all of that which is already burnt and taking fresh logs and putting it on the fire. The prophet of old said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." But the Bible says an angel took a coal from off the altar and placed it on his lips. And immediately he had a conversation with God. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto his people. But this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest." The weary to rest. This is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. This is why the devil hates the Holy Ghost. This is why he wants to keep people away from the Holy Ghost. Because he knows if they ever get the Holy Ghost, they become self-sustaining. They receive sustenance that does not come. It's not an emotional high that you wind yourself up in your mind, that you need people to drop one-liners and you could encourage yourself by natural titillating things of your mind and stir up your mind. This is fire, as the prophet said, like a fire that's shut up in your bones. A fire will burn in your bones. A fire that will not go out. A fire that you will carry all the days of your life. Everywhere you go, people will look at you, say, "There's something different about that person. There's something different about that person. I see Jesus in their eyes. I hear Jesus in their voice. I feel Jesus in their touch. There's something different about that individual." Men and women like this, armed with the firepower of the Holy Ghost, down through the years, down through the centuries, from the early church until this hour, have shook nations. And so it shall be, even in this final hour before the return of the King, that men and women empowered the same way that the early church was empowered shall go forth, and the plan of the enemy will be moved aside. The plan of the wicked shall be moved and brought to naught, because men and women full of the fire of God will go to the nations of the earth. They will draw a line in the sand. They'll say, "Enough is enough is enough. No, you've come this far and you'll come no further. Not on my watch, not while I'm here, not while great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Devil, you can't have my country. Devil, you can't have our children. You can't have our youth. You will not have our schools. You will not have our universities. You'll not have our cities. No, you will not have our people. No, in Jesus' name." Some of you will go in and empty a hospital. You'll empty it. Men and women full of the fire of God will march in and empty a mental institution. You'll empty it. Those that are bound by devils, those that are tormented by devils, will be tormented no more. Hallelujah. The only hope for America, the only hope for this world, is men and women set ablaze by the fire of the Holy Ghost to do his purpose and his plan. If you ask the Holy Spirit, you ask him, say, "I want what's real." The Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father not give good gifts to them that ask? If you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you ask for egg, he won't give you a serpent. If you ask for the Holy Ghost, he'll give you the Holy Ghost. I want everybody to bow your heads right across this place. I want everybody, please, nobody moving, please. Without the Holy Ghost, we can't do what God's called us to do. I don't know if you've realized that things are getting darker. It's almost like what we would see in 5 years, we're seeing in months. The whole earth is groaning and travailing for release. And they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Religion cannot do this. If it could have, it would have already, but it can't. Traditions of men can't do it. If it could have, it would have. Another church on the street corner can't do it. If it could, it would have. We live in a nation with churches everywhere, even some of the small towns. A small town with 300 churches. When you get touched by the fire, God will use you to touch many, many. I didn't realize as a boy when God would touch me and send me to 63 countries. And now multitudes around the world have been touched, not because of me, because of Him. Trust me, it is not my power. I don't have any power other than the Holy Ghost that He gives. But I'm totally dependent upon Him. If He ever lifted His hand off me, I would be finished. I'll be done. I want you to know that I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit here today. Totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit today. That's why sometimes I get upset when people try to thank me and, you know, don't thank me, thank Him. Thank the head of the church. Thank the unseen one, the mighty Holy Ghost. We cannot take any of the glory for ourselves. It must all go to Him. Because God will not share His glory with any man. This whole week is about surrender. It's not actually about a mental surrender. You know, okay, Lord, I think I'll give myself to You. No, it's about a heart surrender. Where even though your head might be confused, and even though your head might be arguing, and even though your head might have some different opinions, but your heart cries out, and you say, look, I don't even know how you're going to do what you say you're going to do, because pretty much I'm a mess. But if You can come in the middle of this mess, if You can come, If you can do like you did in Bible days, I sure would love it if you'd come do it for me. Can you come and touch me this week? Can you change me like you did Peter, who denied you on three occasions, and yet on the day of Pentecost, he preached a powerful message? Can you take me like you took Thomas, who doubted you, and yet you used him mightily, and history records that he went to India and shook the whole of South India? Could you use me like you used Paul, who was against you, went around killing your saints, and yet you met him on the road to Damascus? Can you meet me? Can you come and meet me on River International Drive? Can you come and touch me? Because I surrender every area of my heart to you today. I surrender every area of my heart to you today. If you're in this place and you fit into any one of these three categories, you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to him, you've never said, Jesus, come, be my Lord and Savior, that's where it starts. It starts with surrender. Would you surrender and say, Lord, here I am? Would you give yourself to him today? What would you do if today was your last day on the earth? You went home and put your head on your pillow and breathed out your last breath. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. It's about surrender. You can't go from here, make yourself better, come back and say, okay, Lord, I'm better now. No, you come as you are. God purchases you as is. As is, purchased. It's about surrender. If you're in this place and you gave your life for the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold, you're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost your first love. You lost that peace. You lost that joy. And maybe it started with something that was totally hidden that no one knows about. Your wife doesn't know, your husband, your parents, your children, your pastor. No one knows, but you know. Hidden things, pride, unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden. No one knows. But today you want it gone. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see, and now the devil uses against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. He says, look, you might as well forget about it. God won't use you. Remember this, remember that. And you say, yeah, that's right. But I want you to know God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning. And today he says, come, if you'll surrender to him afresh. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along doing great, and then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. I meet ministers who tell me, Pastor, I was doing great. People who have large churches. And they said, this thing hit me like a freight train, and I don't even know how to pray. They say, I want to get back. I don't know how to get back. Will you surrender afresh to him today? Will you say, Lord, come? And he will. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you do love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. And so you have this battle between your head and your heart, and the devil tells you, you're not saved. But you want to know, you want to make sure, you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right across this building, quickly, wherever you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Hands are going up all across the building. Quickly, just raise up high. Put it up high and say, yes, that's me. I'm not leaving here the same way I came. I'm not leaving the same way I came. Today's my day of freedom. Today's my day of liberty. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me. Look at me over this section here. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now for these three invitations. Quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Slip it up high. This section here. You didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Say, include me. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Put it up high. Put it up high. Put it up high. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet right now. All across the building, everyone that raised your hand, stand, 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 stand. Stand, 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 stand. Everyone that raised your hand, stand, 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 stand. I want you to come from where you are. Come and come stand around the altar. We're going to pray. Come, come, come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The world behind me. Just moving closer to the platform. Moving closer. Come this way, guys. Come. 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 The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Come in closer, come in closer. Come in closer, come in closer, come in closer. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. I want you to listen very carefully. This is not just about a message. Because the gospel doesn't just come with a message. The gospel comes with power. It's the power in the message that transforms. He said if we preach his word, that he would confirm his word with signs following. That's what Mark chapter 16 says. These signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the savior. Jesus is the deliverer. He's the Prince of Peace. And he comes into the middle of your life, in the middle of the storm, and he says, peace be still. And from this day, torment will be broken off of your life. From this day, every devil of hell that's come against you to destroy your life, broken. Broken. We can't earn this. If I'm from Africa, if God can touch this African, and take me around the world. What's he going to do with you? What's God going to do with you? Do you know the impossibility of me going anywhere from where I come from? You have no idea that people actually laughed at me when I told them what I was going to do. They thought I was crazy. But I couldn't get away from it. I felt God had something for my life. I could hear the cries of the lost. I could hear the cries of the lost. I used to collect stamps from nations, and I'd look at stamps. I wondered, would I ever go there? I looked at stamps from Sweden. I thought, will I ever preach in Sweden? Mexico, Guatemala, and the list goes on. And now 63 countries. If God can do that, what's he going to do with you? I just feel this right now, Pastor Martha, if you'd come here quickly. Let's give her a microphone, please. And I'm going to be sharing some things that I've never shared during the course of this week, so don't miss out. But I just need to say this right now, because one of the things that you have to know, that Jesus, and I'll just say this, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that he has eyes like fire. Jesus has eyes like flames of fire. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And his countenance shines like the sun shining in his strength. When Moses was up on the mountain, when he come down from the mountain, remember, he wanted to see God's face, and God said, no man has seen my face. You can't see my face and live. So God hid him in the cleft of the rock and covered the cleft with his hand, and God passed by so that Moses could look on the back of God. And when Moses come off the mount, the people couldn't even look at Moses because his face was shining brighter than the sun. So Moses had to put a covering over his face. I want you to tell the testimony of your kid, your boy, what happened to him, what he was diagnosed, what happened to him, and then what happened one day, because I want them to see how Jesus is moving, and I want you to see how Jesus is going to move in your life.
When my son was 3 years old, I went to, just as a good mom, take him to the doctor and get his 3-year-old shots. And a few weeks later, he just stopped talking. His first word was hallelujah.
Ooh. He was 3 years old.
And after he got the shots, he stopped talking. He stopped coloring. Just stopped everything that he was doing. And we didn't know what to do. We took him to the doctor. They said he was ADHD. First, that we were confusing him by speaking to him in two different languages, Spanish and English. Then we went back. That didn't work. They told us that he was ADHD. They wanted to put him on Ritalin. I said, no. And then the third time we went back and they told us that he was autistic. And I said, No, God gave him to me whole. I don't know what you did to him, but God gave him to me whole, and that's what I believe. He's going to be whole. And for 3.5 years, he didn't speak. He didn't speak. He just, no sentences, nothing. He went through first grade and didn't pass because he didn't write. He didn't read. He didn't play with friends. And then we came here. It was a summer camp meeting. Pastor didn't do anything special. It's just the anointing was so powerful, like it is here today. And he just started saying, fire, fire. He called all the kids in, and he laid hands on all of them. Fire, fire, fire. And I got off the floor, and as good mom, go pick up my kid, get him off the floor. And we start walking to the parking lot. And he tugs on me, and he says, Mommy.
So he's what, six?
Almost seven.
7 years old now.
Mm-hmm. It was 3.5, so he was about to turn 7. And he says, Mommy, Jesus touched me and I feel good. Ooh. Ooh. and I heard him. But there was this veil of religion over my eyes that I couldn't even receive the miracle that was right before me. And I said, honey, Pastor Rodney's not Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. Pastor Rodney's over there in the building. He's your pastor. And he says, no, mommy. Pastor Rodney's over there, yes, but Jesus, dressed in white, went like this to me, and I went like this, and I feel good. And my husband. And my husband tugs me on the shoulder. He says, babe, your son is talking to you in sentences. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the veil of religion just went off my eyes and I broke out in the joy. I grabbed him, I spinned him around and I said, thank you, Jesus. He is whole, you made him whole. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He draws like you can't even believe. A young boy who couldn't even write with his hand on his pencil, and now he's just full of the Holy Ghost, loves the Lord, draws and paints and talks, and he's just amazing. And I thank God, because only God could do that. Only the anointing of the Holy Ghost could do that. Only the fire power of God can do that. Come to a man, you come to God.
How old is he now?
He is 6 7, oh my gosh, 16.
Yeah. Here he is. Greet the people. Tell them.
Tell them, Joseph.
Hallelujah.
Only God can do this. See, Jesus came and touched him. I was here in the meeting, but Jesus touched him. And you'll be here in the meetings this week, but Jesus will touch you. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven and pray this together with me right now. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross, and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands and just begin to thank him right now. Just thank him right now. Just thank him right now. Now, Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit. On that day, not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.